podcast. Hosted by Gondi, chatting randomly to radio people about radio.
Mike Byrne, the first guest for 2020 on the Radio Randomly podcast. Thanks for joining me, mate.
Mate, am I number one?
You're number one for 2020, yeah.
Oh, here's a first.
Yeah. I'm going to be doing some mini versions of this where I just get some people on the phone and we just have a chat about some stuff, because I did some long form chats last year and I'm going to continue to do that. But, you know, just some catch ups. And now that you've got a brand new gig, mate, congratulations. Content director, WSFM in Sydney. How good?
Yeah, mate, I'm absolutely delighted. Kissed on the dick by pixies, as they say. So very, very happy to be back in this building, and absolutely delighted to be back working with, you know, such a legendary team as Jonesy and Amanda, Mike Hammond, Steve Fitton, and obviously the broader ARN content team with Duncan at the helm. So, yeah, absolutely delighted, mate.
So how and when did it all come about for you, Mike?
Last year, obviously my position in Newcastle under the restructure at SCA was made redundant. So that was disappointing. I was floating around and doing a bit of freelance work here and there and doing a fair bit of travel and gardening leave, as they call it. And Duncan approached me about this role, I couldn't believe it. I said to him, mate, you don't need to ask me twice about that gig. It's ironically a job that I actually had quite some time ago, back in 2006. I was programming Gold 104 in Melbourne, and they moved me up to Sydney to program WS, and I was here for about 3 weeks. And the end of the year, and they came to me and said, look, next year when you come back, we'd actually really prefer you on mix. We think we need you more on mix, which was, I thought was a great compliment to be paid. But ironically, I probably should have said no, given what a poison chalice mix was. For quite a number of years after that. So had 3 years over at Mix, but was here in this chair very, very briefly a long, long time ago. So it's nice to be back.
ARN is flying at the moment though, so it's a good time to get back in there.
Yeah, look, it's, I guess, in stark comparison to, you know, the bigger networks like SCA especially, it's a fairly simple business. It's primarily, obviously, radio focused, audio focused, and you know, obviously, only the five metros and the JV in Canberra as well. So it's a smaller business. It's more linear in the way it operates, which is going to be a big learning curve for me compared to, you know, what was going on at SCA, which is obviously a much bigger organisation. So therefore, you know, a fair bit more layered than here. So you know, I can literally here just wander around to Duncan's office and knock on his door and hassle him. He's usually got a lineup of people outside his office, as you can imagine. But that I guess is something I'm really looking forward to. And you're right, ARN is absolutely flying in most markets that it's in and doing really well. It's just a pure focus on ratings and revenue in these markets, and I think that works well.
Well, just comparing it to those times that you were talking about, I mean, it's really with Kyle and Jackie O coming on board, Jonesy and Amanda have always done well. So it just seems like since those days that you were talking about when you were there at Mix, today seems to be much stronger there.
Oh, absolutely. You know, two killer breakfast shows in this building, the K&J juggernaut just continues to roll on. It seems completely unstoppable from a WS perspective. Obviously, Jonesy and Amanda been on the radio for 16-ish years together in Sydney and have really strong perceptions in the market. The right show on the right radio station at the right time helps as well, and they still love it. They're still super passionate. I caught up with them late last year and had a lunch with them, and you know, they just absolutely love radio. Jonesy's a classic radio anorak. We'll talk radio till the cows come home. And Amanda, really loves the audience, and the audience absolutely love her. And the thing with both of them, and particularly with Amanda, is what you see is what you get with her. And I think for the WS audience, that's something you want to just bottle and keep, just make sure you keep to the fore of the radio station, because they're 100% authentic.
You've got a lot of experience in radio, but how do you tackle that when you come in and they've got so much experience, you know, they've got the way that they run things, and then all of a sudden you're sort of there to help facilitate their show. So how do you approach that? Because you don't want to sort of jump all over them. So how do you go into a 2020 with that?
Yeah, well, they're not back yet. They're back on the 20th, but certainly when they get back, I'll be going in and blowing up their show completely, taking all of the benchmarks out, yes. Getting them to getting to say WSFM. look, you just don't. What can I teach them about breakfast radio? I'll be learning from those guys, not the other way around. I see my role here as content director is really the facilitator for them to do the best work they can possibly do. Try to break down any barriers and push down any roadblocks that might be in the way of those guys just doing what they do so well. So creating that, the best environment possible for them and the broader support structure and team that they've got around them as well. And that's really my my roadmap here, I guess, for 2020. I've never been the smartest guy in the room when it comes to strategic positioning of radio stations. There are far smarter people working with this organisation than I am doing that kind of stuff. Led by Duncan. My role here will just be to be the cheer squad for those guys, make sure that they get what they need, and we create the best environment possible for them.
Do you think they will come to you for things throughout the year?
Jonesy and Amanda?
Yeah.
Oh, 100% they will. Yep. They already have.
Right.
Yeah. No, of course. I mean, you know, all talent want feedback and constructive feedback and good talent does at least. And certainly, you know, there'll be some guidance along the way as the, you know, ears of the breakfast show, I guess. And that's another thing that I think, you know, great content directors are just great listeners as well. So if you can listen really carefully and constructively and then give that feedback in a way that the talent can use it, for a positive outcome, then certainly that's what I'll be trying to do with those guys. But, you know, I'm not here to teach them how to do breakfast radio.
Yeah, but that is interesting though, isn't it? Even after all these years, they still search that feedback, and I guess you just want to know that you're doing a good job, even if you are at the top of the game.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, you look at, you know, a great Hollywood actor is only as good as the director of the film.
Yeah.
And a great director will assist and guide and help and show, you know, perhaps another way of doing things at times. And I think that's one of the challenges for a show like Jonesy and Amanda that's been on the air for such a long time is that constant refresh of the show. And it's a case of, you know, being careful enough not to throw the baby out with the bathwater. To refresh the show as needed, keep it as fresh as it can possibly be, but also sticking to the core of what that show is about, which is, you know, talking to listeners and being that great, you know, literally the friend next door. Who the thing that I see and hear from this show especially is that, that their audience feel that they really know these guys. They really know Jonesy and Amanda. They wake up with them, they're habitual. And that's the case of most breakfast shows, of course, but with these guys, I think even more so, just given their longevity in the market.
Yeah, it's a great place to be for the whole team there. It's interesting, I was chatting to Bags, who I've got on the podcast as well, because he's moving to the Gold Coast. I'm going to have a chat to him about his gig, but this is what he had to say about you, Mike Byrne.
He
sent me a quote even. And you and I haven't worked directly with each other, but the bits we've had to do, you know, with each other, I think you'd be great to work with. But this is what he said. Mike was very influential on my career. He allowed me to show another side of my personality on air with the 50K walks he did for Sonny and Emily. He also says here he was an extremely supportive content director with a wealth of knowledge on the industry as well as trains and buses. What does that mean?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a public transport anorak. I'm not quite the guy you see at the train station wearing the pie-stained anorak and taking photos of the 21-class locomotives with the long-lens camera.
Yes.
Yeah, but I have a bit of a weird obsession with that kind of stuff. Planes as well. I'm a bit of an aerosexual, as they say. I love my aircraft.
Right. Interesting.
Well, there's a few of us in radio. You want to be very careful. There's quite a few aerosexuals in radio. So yeah, we love our aircraft. I think it's just part of that. I don't know what the link is between the radio business and that business. I always wanted to be a pilot, but was never, ever smart enough to do it.
I've never heard the word aerosexual, but you learn something new in 2020.
There you go.
Shout out to all the aerosexuals out there. But that's a big
wrap. That's really lovely of Bags, you know, given, you know, I mean, despite what everybody else says about Bags, I think he's a good bloke. he's terrific talent. We had a ball over the past couple of years in Newcastle, and yeah, I could see that. Bags came to the mate. He's a very cheeky kind of character, but he was very keen to show his much softer side, and he really does have a very soft underbelly. And so things like the 50K walks that he did were real opportunity for the audience to get to know a different side of him, and I think it really brought that out in him as well. So, the great thing about a market like Newcastle is you've got a little more leeway in terms of that kind of stuff there. You can do some things and make a few mistakes in a market like Newcastle that you can't make in a bigger, far more competitive market. So I said to Bags right from the get-go, mate, come here and try and be a little different and have a go at things. And if you fail, that's okay. It's not going to matter whether you make a few mistakes here or not. So let's do some fun stuff. And he certainly did. He'll be a loss to the Hit Breakfast Show in Newcastle. Although Jess and Nick are great talents, and they'll kick on with another co-host. But Newcastle's loss is definitely the Gold Coast game with Bagsy.
Why can't some of those things work in bigger markets, do you think, Mike? You know, trying different things, thinking outside the box, just saying that, you know, come here, try some stuff. Isn't that sort of what Hamish and Andy did when they first started coming through, doing things differently?
I think it is possible, and certainly the bold management will allow you to do that. But I think it's the cycle of competitiveness in particularly Sydney and Melbourne. Means that it has been, particularly over the past 10 or 15 years, pretty rare for any senior management of a radio company to take risks. There's absolutely exceptions to that rule. K&J going on to Breakfast at 2 Day back in the day was a big risk. More recently, Christian onto Gold in Melbourne, a big, bold risk. It is few and far between, and I guess we do tend to stick to the sort of formulaic things because we know that's worked. I think, and it's good to see that it seems to be happening more and more now, because at the end of the day, it'll be the way radio will continue to thrive and grow into the future is by experimenting and doing different things, bringing different people onto the radio, whether it's Tanya Hennessy, of course, is in the jungle at the moment. You know, her style on the radio is quite different to anybody we've heard in the past as well. And there's certainly examples of it, but you're right. It's we do tend to just stick to the same old, because we know it works. It's just human nature, I guess.
Well, I have to ask you this question then, and it's a hard one to answer, but where do you see radio heading? I know when internet came along, everyone freaked out, thought internet was going to kill radio, sort of just made it stronger. Moving past 2020 and, 10, 15, 20 years down the track, what do you see happening to it?
Oh, it's a good question, and I don't know what the longer-term answer is, but I think for the short term, I think it still all comes back down to great talent. If you've got a great breakfast show, if you've got great talent on the air across the day that resonates with the audience, and obviously that varies depending on the target audience you've got and the brand that you're managing. We run a music-based drive show here. We don't have a talent-based drive show here because of our competitive environment. That makes sense for WS as it does for Smooth. But it doesn't make sense for Nova or the Hit Network or the Kiss guys as well. So the great talent, the stuff that really absolutely connects with the audience is what's going to continue to cut through. And I haven't yet seen a technology that's usurped that. The other thing, of course, is radio is just so simple. And I think in a very complicated world, yes, you've got, lots and lots of options in terms of what you listen to, whether it's a podcast or whether it's a streaming service or a traditional FM, AM radio station. At the end of the day, the simplicity of getting in your car and the radio coming on and your favorite breakfast hosts or drive hosts being there to entertain you on the way to or from work or whatever will continue to be the thing that makes people choose radio over other things. And, you know, I've been around for 30 years now, and I've heard all of this doomsdaying in the past about new technology that's going to upset radio and see its demise, and it hasn't happened yet. It might happen in my time, but we'll see. I don't think so.
It's also the set and forget factor too. Someone else has done it for you. You just get in the car because, you know, a lot of people do say, get on Spotify, I can listen to my own music, but you've got to choose all that stuff. You've got enough things to worry about during the day, so you can just get on, flick it on, it's live, it's local, all those things. If we keep those things strong, I think that's what's going to hopefully keep it around for a long time.
Yeah, and you know, I hear all the time that young kids don't listen to radio, and my son, who's 19, constantly tells me he doesn't listen to radio, but every time I get in his car, it seems to be on Nova or Triple J. So
yep.
I remind him that, yeah, maybe you do listen to radio, mate. And I think the one big challenge we've got as an industry is reminding people and unlocking some of that phantom cume, as they call it, you know, those people who we know are listening, but either don't report it, don't say it, or aren't proud of it. And I think that's one of the big challenges for radio, you know, is remaining sexy enough that people are proud to say that they listen to X, Y, or Z radio station, or X, Y, or Z breakfast team, or drive team, or whatever. And I think that's a big challenge. I think we get underreported in terms of the number of people who actually do listen to us.
Yeah, and I think when you're 19, it's just cool to say you don't like anything. So,
well, that's true too. Yes. He's a brooding 19-year-old kid. You know what you expect.
Exactly. Mate, I do have to ask you about when you left Newcastle. I know you've got this brand new gig now and it's awesome, and that's why I wanted to get you on. But I was also going to get you on the podcast when the Newcastle job fell through and how that felt for you at the time, and how you didn't even as much as recently, you didn't even feel like you're going to get a gig anytime soon. There's a lot of people going through that in radio at the moment themselves. How do you get yourself through that, and what does it feel like at the time?
Yeah, look, it's a really good question. And obviously there's you go through all of the stages of I guess it's grief, really. You go through the disbelief initially, and then usually shock, and then it might turn into anger or sadness or whatever the case may be. I'm fortunate enough that I've been around long enough to know that it's just part of the game. It's even when it's personal, it's usually not personal. And certainly I took that plan of attack when I had that fateful meeting, with the guys in Newcastle, and I looked at it and thought, well, okay, what's the most important thing to me? So there are a number of things that I would encourage anybody who gets that email or that calendar invite and is asked to bring a support person. First thing is focus on you. So what's the most important thing to you? And also don't waste any energy on trying to fight a decision that's been made and it's out of your hands. It's not something that you can't turn back the hands of time. And if an organisation has decided that you sit on a spreadsheet, on the wrong line on a spreadsheet, and you're one to go, then you're one to go. So move on. Get the best deal you can possibly get out of them. Fight hard but fair, and be realistic about it too. I think, you know, I hear all too often when people are made redundant or their contracts are not renewed that they have unrealistic expectations of what an organisation is obliged to pay them or even should be paying them. But be fair about it. Be incredibly professional. I was fortunate enough that I was trusted to stick around there for another week after I was given the tap on the shoulder for survey results to come out. So that was lovely. And I was able to be there and deliver the final survey results to my team as well. So be mature about it. And I haven't been in the past. I've been let go of other places in the past, and I've acted like a complete dickhead. And it does you no favours. And the bottom line is this business is a cottage industry. There's very few people who work in this business. There are very few opportunities, but likewise, there are also very few people who can do it well. So don't burn bridges and be nice to people all the time, even if you don't particularly like them. Just be professional and fair, and I think it then just becomes a waiting game. You know, use your contacts, and becomes a waiting game. The other thing that I've absolutely learned is try to be as financially secure and independently secure as you can be. If you've got a job in radio, that's great, but there might be times where you don't. And if the one thing you can put out of your mind is that anxiety about how am I going to pay the mortgage or the car payment or whatever or the rent or whatever the case may be, if you can buy yourself enough time between jobs and you're any good at what you do, you will invariably find another role, and it will come along to you if you can just wait long enough. So they're probably my top tips, I reckon.
No, there's some good tips, absolutely. And the industry is too small to be a dickhead, isn't it? I mean, because you can do that on the way out to certain people, and then years go by, jobs come around, and all of a sudden you're working together again. So you just can't – there's no way you can get away with that these days.
No, and, you know, my example's a case in point where I came here 7 years ago to anchor the last Mixed Breakfast show before Kyle and Jack came across, and it was rebranded as KISS. I lasted here. Duncan brought me in as EP and anchor. I lasted here about 4 months, and it just wasn't working out. I wasn't the right guy for the job, and my headspace wasn't right as well. I had some personal challenges going on at the time, and he moved me on before my probation ended. And it was brutal and very difficult and very upsetting. But I didn't, you know, storm out of the building carrying on like a dickhead. And fortunately, I've been hired back for an even better job. So, I think you're absolutely right. It's a very small business, and we all end up working with each other generally multiple times and often in multiple locations for multiple companies. So, try to be fair and kind to each other, and I think you'd be surprised how well you get on.
Have you ever got to a point over the years, Mike, where you thought, I have to do something else? You know, the months tick by, the money runs out that you put aside, and you start to entertain those thoughts. Have you thought about what else you might do?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And certainly I did that at the end of August last year. I spent a couple of weeks just, you know, detoxing from the radio business, which can be quite difficult, but it's absolutely a worthwhile thing to do. And thought, okay, well, what skills do I have that could be applied to something else, and what really floats my boat? And the big challenge for me was that I knew I had some skills that I could take elsewhere, leadership and management skills I could take elsewhere, but nothing really floated my boat. And so I thought, no, look, I'll continue to persist with this radio caper for a while. I gave myself 6 months. I thought if I don't land something within 6 months, the money will run out and I'll be in a bit of trouble. I definitely considered doing other things. Nothing really sort of grabbed me like this business does. Once it's in your blood, it's very hard to get out.
You are an aerosexual, so you could have gone down that road too, you know?
Not smart enough to be a pilot, though, so yeah.
There's always time to study, always time to knuckle down, and who knows. Mate, why do we do this to ourselves? With all the uncertainty, why do we do it to ourselves?
I don't know. I think because we love it. Love the buzz. And it is like, you know, it's like heroin. You just got to keep pumping it into your veins. Not that I would know, of course, but I'm told.
Yes.
I think it's just, it does become a bit of a drug, and you really, there's nothing better in my mind anyway than coming in to work at a radio station,
yep.
Particularly one that's pumping. If, you know, if the culture's great and everybody loves working there, there's no better environment. And, it does not matter what you do in that station, whether you're on the air or you're in content or you're in sales or you're Louis the groundskeeper here, if you come to work every day and you love what you're doing and everybody else does as well, I don't know of a better environment to work in.
When you love it, you love it, and hopefully it's pumping for you in 2020, mate. Really appreciate you jumping on the podcast with me. Great way to kick off the podcast for 2020, Mike Byrne. Cheers, mate.
No, good on you, mate, and good luck to the Central Coast SEA team with HIT now, of course, and Triple M there. So I hope you guys have a cracking 2020 as well.
It's going to be a massive year. Cheers, Mike. You're a legend.
On you, Gondi. See you, mate.
The Radio Randomly Podcast. Hosted by Gondi. Chatting randomly to radio people about radio.